Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. It just gets sweeter as we go along. Lord, thank you for that abounding hope that, Lord, continues to build all because of the word of your grace. Lord, thank you that it's you and we look only to you. Lord, you're the praise in our hearts and you're the joy in our lips. Lord, thank you. It's just Christ in us, the hope of glory. Lord, it's our praise. It's our rejoicing. It's our song. Lord, thank you for this transformation that's going on. Lord, the glory to glory, to glory to glory that are rolling along. Oh, in your vessels of mercy. Oh, the joy to the Father. Thank you, Father, for him. Oh, and we do love him because he first loved us. And all that love, we're growing in the knowledge of it. And oh, what a wonder that you said that we could know the love of him, the beloved Lamb of God. We thank you. And Lord, increase our faith today, because it is the joy and peace that we have, believing you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Isn't he beautiful? Hallelujah. Well, going to need to pray. My eyes are watering up. Don't have my glasses out here, so this is definitely by faith. Praise God. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hallelujah. Verse 11. It says there, now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Let's read that again. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Now, I believe by the grace of God, and only by the grace of God, there's a bunch growing in here in understanding the beauty and the joy and the thanksgiving we have for that peaceable fruit of righteousness. I thank the Lord for the last few Sundays we've spent together. We know what it's about. Say it in so many different ways, but I'll tell you what. I'm thanking God. He's building up a kiss for him and those that want to kiss him. With a kiss that, I'll tell you what, it's going to stagger very glory himself. That kiss of his wife. Hallelujah. The roar of heaven. Matter of fact, I'll tell you, it's going to roar so loud, then everything's going to get silent for a half hour. Because there's some things that have to be, well, got kids in here this morning. You want that best wine kiss for your bridegroom? I do. Praise God. You understand? This is how it comes. That peaceable fruit of righteousness. And sweetly in this precious verse, God gives us the means or the way that this happens, how it's developed in our life. And it's not just a moment. It's over and over, isn't it? It's over and over in the wonderful refiner's fire. Praise God. It's his fire. Know that. Amen. I appreciated how sister and brother would say, you know, that fire, that old Nebuchadnezzar, they thought that they were going to throw those three Hebrew children in. They thought they were going to throw them in there. And it wasn't anybody's fire but God's. That was his furnace. Amen. He's in control of everything. You know that. Amen. I'll tell you, that nasty neighbor, that horrible boss, he's in control of them. He's got the hearts of the kings in his hand. He just moves them and directs them just like he does the rivers. And we see it, don't we? Praise God. Amen, honey. And I love that. I've seen him do it in my life. I know he's done it in yours, because praise be to God, he's our faithful God. And we're going to be in that refiner's fire. We thank the Lord for it. But we got to know something here. We're not going to deceive ourselves. The testing, that chastening is not joyous for the moment. It's grievous. Trials sometimes hurt. And they hurt deep. And I love the meaning of this chastening here. It speaks of an entirety. It means the whole training. It's not just a moment in time. It's your lifetime. See, that's the beautiful thing about you and the amazing thing about our God. We mention it oftentimes, and I know everyone has heard this. He spoke creation into existence. He just spoke it, and bam, it's there. Yet with you, he gave his son. He had to. He could speak all the things he wanted. But to bring many sons to glory, to give him what he so desires, he had to give you everything he loved. Everything that he had. He gave us everything. And he gave us his son. And then in giving us his son, praise God, he gave us beautiful faith. The beautiful, all-pleasing thing to God. See, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But that's why he gave us Jesus. Because when we're born of God, praise God, it's no longer I that live. It's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He gave us that beautiful faith. And that faith isn't just a moment in time. It has to be authored and finished. Amen? Praise God, it's a beautiful lifetime. And he wants it to be all-inclusive. He wants that faith, as he's given us that precious encouragement, the most holy faith, the most set apart. I mean, you got out there so far and believing, man, I can't even see that fella anymore. You get out from among the camp, don't you? You go in that bridal truth. Tell you what, oftentimes you just find it's just you and Jesus. Praise God. But you know, that's what happens when you get married, you know? Yeah, I know some, my folks for a little bit of time, they lived with his mama, my sweet grandma, and all. But they didn't want that to be that way for very long. They wanted to get alone. They wanted to be on their own. And thanks be to God, that's what Jesus wants with you. And it's not going to be any other way. He's going to get you alone. He's going to keep you going on out there and how beautiful it is. And he does it with this whole training. See, he brings us to things that no one else is going to comfort us. I have a wonderful comforting mom and my sweet wife and ones that pray for me so much. And I thank the Lord, but I've only got one comfort. I got the comforter. And I thank God. He's the one that comforts, and he's the God of all comfort. And I thank the Lord. He set it up that way. But see, in this lifetime, brothers and sisters, this lifetime of these trials, this chastening that we know that's not grievous, I mean, that's grievous and it's not joyous for the moment. You know what? You have to really love the good pleasure of God's will, don't you? Amen? You do. Because you know if you're going to reign with him, you know what's going to happen? You're going to suffer. So you have to understand and really love the good pleasure of his will. And you know what that is? That's you. So you really have to know the love of Christ, don't we? Isn't that beautiful how Paul brought that out? You have to know the love of Christ. The height, the depth, the length, the breadth, every bit of it. Because without it, you're not going to endure the sufferings. You're not going to endure this chastening. Amen. We have to love that glory for him that shall be revealed in us. This is a glory doctrine, isn't it? And to get to that glory, I'll tell you what, it's a chastening life. And you know how he chastens you? With his word. With his word. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. But if you really want to be chastened to this level of glory, it's going to be in the word. And it's going to be in the whole counsel. And it's going to be in Paul's gospel. And we're talking about the chastening, this chastening that's being spoken of here. This is the chastening for suffering together to be glorified together. Amen. Go back into Romans. Understand that there's children. Amen. And children are heirs of God. But then there's joint heirs. Amen. Husband and wife with Jesus Christ. If so be that you suffer together with me. If you'll take this chastening. If you'll endure it. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, think of this. There's a precious word in here, in this verse, that must be received for this chastening. If it's really going to work effectually in us, it's got to be. Did you see that? to them which are exercised thereby. You know that word exercised? I got something for you here today. You know what it means? Literally, it means to exercise naked. Oh, yes, it does. You heard me right. It means to exercise naked. Now, I want you to understand this. See, the great athletes in the ancient Greek games, they would exercise completely naked to make sure that their bodies were developed to perfection. They didn't want anything hidden. It had to be all out there, that every bit of that specimen was in perfection, perfect symmetry. And I think what a beautiful picture of what the Lord is doing by His grace in this place. Oh, amen. Through His word, He's exercising us to perfection if we are willing to be stripped by Him. He must increase and I must decrease. Praise God. Now, it brought me back, and I was smiling about this, and this was a day long ago. I used to love to go to the gym. I used to love to go work out and see if I had a muscle or two. So I was somewhat serious. But there were some folks that went there. There were some, especially some men. I'll tell you what, man, they were serious. They were swinging them weights. And I was like, oh my, that's amazing. But you know, without fail, they wanted to show off certain parts of their body. And then other parts of their body, it was kind of interesting. They would just, you know, hide. Now. We used to call it sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Let's just take this one, for example. You know, the fella that'd be out there, he'd never wear a shirt. Just always out there, giant biceps and all that. Always wore sweatpants. I mean, without fail, that guy always wore sweatpants. I mean, he was, as they say, he was jacked, he had ripped and all of this. Us fellas knew. He's riding a chicken. And you know that. Now, ladies, I see you laughing too, and you do the exact same thing. Exactly, but we're not going to get into that. We do not have time. But them parts, they just wanted to hide. But I got to thinking, as the Lord brought this to me, He said, you know, that's just like us. You know, sometimes we think we have really dazzling parts of our body, or our being, I should say, that we want to show off to God. My faithfulness, or how kind I am, or how giving or diligent. But in all reality, we're hiding something we don't want to deal with before the Lord. But isn't this wonderful? And I appreciate this, and I thank God. We all know this. This is us. Amen? This is why, you know, we're all here. I am not through with His chastening yet, neither are you. We're here in Paul's gospel together. It's a beautiful thing. We've been rejoicing how tightly fit and compacted we are. And we thank God for this. But see, God is faithful. He's faithful. And I thank God He is. And right here, as we've just read in this wonderful verse here, He brings the chastening. He brings the most fiery trials to strip us of ourselves. Truly, I love it to get me naked before God, to get things in my life revealed to me, if there be any wicked way. I love how Brother David said it in Psalm 139. He said in the 23rd verse, "Search me, O God. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." Now, brothers and sisters, how many times, at least that we even know, was David's life stripped down before God? Amen. The man that was after God's own heart, the man that was chosen as that anointed of God, that it was going to be through His precious line, hallelujah, the birth of the Savior, hallelujah, all of the faithfulness of God. But honey, I'm going to show you something. You're going to have a life of chastening. You're so beautiful, son. But it's me in you. It's Christ in you. I'm going to show you that. And I got to praising God. And I thought, Lord, how often you bring us and you bring my life to a trial that shows me that, you know, really, I don't have the great faith I thought I had. Man, I was singing such a beautiful song. Where did it go? And he shows me it's always him. It's always him who has been faithful. Always. Always. Oh, I thank him for that. I start to get too high on myself. I'm trying to find the tune to sing again. Well, I'll tell you, when that lowliness, sweetest songs you ever sang come in, don't they? Those songs in the night, there's nothing like them. There's nothing like that melody. There's nothing like the perfection of that groaning of a heart. I'll tell you, he'll even bring you to the place. And I know some saints that are there right now. The place I believe not. To show me that he's the light in me. That has always carried me. In the faith. I read that. I hear him. And I just take a big sigh. And just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're such a faithful God. This chastening is pleasing to you. I know it's going to hurt my life. You haven't hid this from me. These are going to be things that are embarrassing. And not necessarily embarrassing to other people. I'm talking embarrassing to yourself. Come on. But I'm learning to even joy in those embarrassments. And thank the Lord that, God, you're stripping me. Jesse's going away. The beauty of Christ in me is beginning to reign. It's my testimony. It's what Christ is working in my life. It's not what I can do or I can work up or the events that I want to see. He's got me shut away. He'll bring me out at times to give forth his word and different things of that nature. But I know my life. I know where it's going more and more all the time. I'm hidden away. I tell you what. He not just shut me down. He's taken this away. He's beautiful to do this, isn't he? He's wonderful in this. And I thank God that he wants us one way, and that's perfectly complete, finished, without spot or wrinkle, nothing remaining but Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, I love him. Turn on over to Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Paul says it like this, as he's getting ready to be offered. It's all coming in a way that he's been exercised in it. And now the Lord has given him the word to speak. He's given him the message, praise God, for us to believe. Here it is. Verse 8. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Never forget that word excellency means the superior in rank. He wants you to be in the bride. He wants you to be in that company, praise God, that will be taken at the moment of the first trump. That's what he wants. That's what he's desiring. But this is Paul and says, here it is. Here is the testimony of those that believe. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. Think of that. If I have any boast in the law in my life, I'm boasting in something he already took away. He already nailed it to the cross. My boast is that he finished it, that he completed it for me. The law and the ordinances have been nailed to the cross. Where there is no law, there is no sin. My joy, my rejoicing, as brother sang of the freedom, is my liberty in Christ. I'm born again. Now I am a son of God. And a son of God, a child of God, cannot commit sin, neither can he sin. I'll read that again. Be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. If we're boasting in law, whatever a shred of anything, you're being found in you and you'll miss the mark. But I want to be found in that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Only his righteousness. Only the peaceable fruit of his righteousness. And how did it come? How did this happen? Chastening. Chastening. The whole training. Nothing short of perfection for him. So let's just conclude. Do we really get this? Do we really get it, brethren? Lord, I want to be stripped before you. I know there ain't anything beautiful about me but you. Hallelujah. I want to exercise, praise God, and I'll say it just like that. I want to exercise naked before God. Oh, I do. Don't worry, I'm not coming out. I'll just keep it between us. But I'll tell you what, the beautiful thing is, and I'm telling you this, and those that understand this, you'll really know it. When you really finally exercise naked before him, you'll find out how beautiful you are in him. In him. And how beautiful you are to him. And I can testify to you, I thank God. I say, thank you, Jesus. I got beautiful. I did. I got beautiful. Because I finally got naked before him. And I'll tell you, you know, when that really started to happen, I had to throw up my hands. Because I'll tell you what, if it wasn't in Christ, I'll tell you, man, I would have been just completely devastated if I didn't understand the ways of God and what he was doing in my life, that it was Christ in me, the hope of glory. So as I started to get naked before him, really the first time to understand what he was after in my life, I had to raise my hands. And all I could say to him was, I said, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Those things I've been keeping back for all of these years as a Christian. All these things I've been harboring in all these years as a Christian. The little teeny compartments of my life that, you know, Lord, I don't want to pretend anymore. I want you to have it all. And you know what happened? Mercy ravished me. And I'll tell you what, I love mercy ravishing me. I love being a vessel of his mercy. I'm so thankful. I'm exposed. Totally exposed. And I'll tell you what. Well, yeah, I'm going to have to tell on him. Man, he loves me. He's so ravished by me now. More and more all the time. Because of his grace. Because of his mercy. And you know what? It's never stopped. Let him have you. Let him have you. Amen. In Jesus' name, those that want to come and pray, come on up. Let's yield to him and thank the Lord. In Jesus' name, I know he'll meet you. Brother, you have a song?